In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump on Friday was found to have requested a mail-in ballot in order to be able to vote remotely in primary elections next week in his new home state of Florida. The Palm Beach County Elections Department reportedly received the request for mail-in ballots for both Donald and Melania Trump, signaling that the president's vociferous railing against universal vote by mail was aimed at everybody else but him. A federal judge in Pennsylvania has now demanded that Trump offer proof of his claims of widespread voter fraud from voting by mail. Former President Obama chimed in, saying that Trump is trying to, quote, actively kneecap and starve the Postal Service in order to hamper vote by mail. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy broke with Trump and asserted that the GOP would ensure that the Postal Service would have the funding it needs, saying, quote, we want to make sure we have an accurate election. But McCarthy, too, was openly partisan about his agenda, adding, quote, I think any Republican that gets their ballot in the mail should vote and make sure their vote is counted. The president of the Postal Workers Union slammed the actions to hinder USPS's work as shameful. The Postal Service employs about 100,000 military veterans, and hundreds of thousands more rely on receiving medication by mail. In addition to withholding the funding that the Postal Service requires to carry out universal vote by mail during the pandemic, Trump's new appointee as Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, has disturbingly ordered the removal of hundreds of high-volume mail sorting machines, which contribute to quicker deliveries. Already, mail delivery is being delayed, with the Department of Veterans Affairs and hundreds of vets reporting that their medications delivered by mail have been seriously affected. 31 U.S. senators wrote a letter to the Postmaster General DeJoy, demanding action to ensure prompt delivery of medications to vets. As senators leave for their summer break until September, without coming to agreement on a new COVID relief bill, new indicators show that without another stimulus, the economy will continue to sputter. Retail sales slowed in July and are expected to fall even more in August. Reuters explained that, quote, economists attributed the increase in retail sales over the past 3 months to a $600 weekly unemployment benefit supplement from the government, which amounted to almost $75 billion in July. The supplement ended on July 31st, leaving economists to expect a decline in retail sales in August. Meanwhile, the stock market is booming, leading some to conclude that, quote, the recession is over for the rich, but the working class is far from recovered. And states whose budgets provide critical social support are devastated from the pandemic. Economists are warning that the long-term financial effects on states could be worse than that of the last recession. Joe Biden's presidential campaign has raised, on average, $1 million an hour in the 2 days since he announced Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. A new poll by NPR PBS NewsHour, conducted before the VP announcement was made, shows that Biden has expanded his lead over Trump by double digits now, at 11% more support, up from 8% in June. And the first political convention of the pandemic is about to begin, with Democrats convening largely remotely. The Democratic National Convention begins Monday, and Associated Press described it saying, quote, there will be no physical gathering place, no cheering audience, no balloons. The program will consist instead of a series of online video addresses, half of which will be pre-recorded, that play out for 2 hours each night, until Biden formally accepts the Democratic presidential nomination in a mostly empty Delaware ballroom on Thursday. Meanwhile, President Trump says he will give his acceptance speech for the Republican nomination from the White House, a highly unusual move that flouts ethical norms, as the White House is funded by taxpayers and a convention speech is a strictly partisan affair. Trump has wasted no time in resorting to a tried and tested racist attack on Senator Kamala Harris after Biden picked her as his VP. Promoting a rumor created by one of his allies that she was not born in the U.S. is the same tactic that he used to question the birthright citizenship of Barack Obama. Trump said to reporters, I heard it today that she doesn't meet the requirements. In response, the Biden campaign issued a scathing statement saying, quote, Donald Trump was the national leader of the grotesque racist birther movement with respect to President Obama and has sought to fuel racism and tear our nation apart on every single day of his presidency. So it's unsurprising, but no less abhorrent, that as Trump makes a fool of himself, straining to distract the American people from the horrific toll of his failed coronavirus response, that his campaign and their allies would resort to wretched, demonstrably false lies in their pathetic desperation. Trump also insulted the youngest member of Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, saying in an interview, AOC was a poor student. This is not a smart person, other than she's got a good line of stuff. In fact, Ocasio-Cortez graduated cum laude from Boston University in 2011 with degrees in international relations and economics. Not one to remain quiet, she responded to Trump's claims with a challenge, saying, "Let's make a deal, Mr. President. You release your college transcript, I'll release mine, and we'll see who was the better student. Loser has to fund the post office." Meanwhile, a reporter named S.V. Date on Thursday pointedly asked Trump during the White House briefing if the president regretted being such a prolific liar. Trump pretended not to hear and then pointedly ignored the question in an interaction that has now gone viral.
Mr. President, after 3.5 years, do you regret at all the lying you've done to the American people? All the lying, all the dishonesties.
That who has done?
You have done. Tens of
thousands.
Yeah,
go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask about the payroll tax.
In other news, President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, has joined the bandwagon of former Trump loyalists who have turned on their leader and written books about him. Cohen's forthcoming book is called Disloyal, and in the book's foreword that he just published on his website, Cohen wrote, "I bore witness to the real man in strip clubs, shady business meetings, and in the unguarded moments when he revealed who he really was, a cheat, a liar, a fraud, a bully, a racist, a predator, a con man." The Government Accountability Office has just determined that the top two officials serving at the Department of Homeland Security are not legally eligible to serve. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf and his acting deputy Ken Cuccinelli were both appointed to their positions by the president but never confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Such a sidestepping of Senate confirmations is not legal under the Vacancies Reform Act. In news related to the coronavirus, a new study shows that the virus-related death rate for Black Americans is twice that for white Americans. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has announced that those who recover from the virus can only count on having immunity from it for about 3 months. The CDC has also surveyed young people during the pandemic and found alarming levels of depression and anxiety, as well as suicidal thoughts and substance abuse, especially among Black and brown youth. And that does it for our news headlines today.